Good morning. Can everybody hear me? It's good. Good to have you with us this morning. And we're going to look at that prayer as an introduction today. And the coming 3 or 4 weeks, some of the other brethren going to discuss the rest of the passage. If you are visiting here this morning, we want to welcome you to Bethel Gospel Chapel. And we also welcome all the regular ones that are attending here. So nice to have you with us this morning. It's always a privilege to minister the Word of God to the saints and in the assembly, because His Word is precious. The book of Hebrews reminds us that the Word of God is living. In other words, it's alive and it is powerful. And that's why we're going to look at scriptures this morning. Now, the passage that in your bulletin is from Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 to 13. And then Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Before I start, I just want to say this. I don't know whether I might have mentioned here or not. There was a Methodist minister used to live in New York. In the same block, he had a friend living there. He was a taxi driver. So one day the minister wanted to go someplace. He called his friend, the taxi driver. They both got into a big accident. They both died. So they went to heaven, and Saint Peter, standing at the door and welcoming both of them. And first of all, the taxi driver, he showed a nice little mansion and all the things that go with it. And then the minister went, and he had a little hut there in the corner. So the minister says, "Hey, this is not fair. I was a minister of a big congregation down in New York. He was just a taxi driver. How come he has a big mansion?" So Peter says, "When you were preaching, all the members in your congregation were sleeping. When he was driving the taxi, they were all awake and they were praying." So I am the taxi driver this morning. So you know what that means. I want you to be awake and keep on praying. Before we turn to the Lord Jesus told his disciples, when he was here, he called the little children and he said, "I want you to be like these children." And when the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "As imitators of me, as children." You know why? Because children are innocent. They are honest. There is no hunting around the bush. They go straight to the point when they want. So I thought, I found some interesting prayer for the little children. Here they are. "Dear God, instead of letting people die and having make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you have?" Jane. It's a little girl wanted to tell God. Next one, Larry. "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It worked with my brother." And here is Mickey. "Dear God, if you watch me in church on Sunday, I will show you my new shoes." And then Another one, it says here, I bet it's very hard for you to love all or everybody in the whole world. There are only four people in our family, and I can never do it. Anita says, Dear God, is it true my father won't get in heaven if he uses his golfing words in the house? Norma says, God, dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? Neil says, I went to the wedding this morning and they kiss right in the church. Is that okay, God? And finally, Darla says, Dear God, did you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, then I'm going to fix my brother. So there they are. They are straight to the point. And that's what the Lord Jesus told. So this morning we're going to look at three aspects of the, it says they're the Lord's Prayer, but it wasn't really the Lord's Prayer. As we all know, it is the disciples' prayer. He didn't tell the disciples, pray these words. He said, in like manner you pray. And you know, Paul mentioned from Luke's Gospel chapter 1, when Jesus was finished praying, the disciples went unto him and he asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, I was just thinking, these disciples were with him more than 3 years. And here is the master teacher, the teacher of all teachers. And you know, they never ask anything else other than this one, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they could have asked all the other things. Show us how to prepare a sermon, or how to preach, or how to conduct the miracles, or many of the other things that the Lord did. But they never did. But this one, they asked. And so we're going to look at this morning three things. The cause or why we pray. The cause of prayer. And then we're going to look at the contents of this prayer. And then we're going to look at finally the conclusion of this prayer. So this morning, I just want to say why we pray. So in other words, we're going to look at this passage, the power of prayer. In the Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is a great man of prayer, and this is what he prayed. He says, For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. That is a beautiful prayer, isn't it? But you know, sometimes I am afraid when things are going well, we act as we don't need God. Look at the North American society. Why do they need God? We don't need God. You live in most of the, if you go to my neighborhood, most of the houses by the ravine is over $2 million to $3 million for the houses. They got two or three or four or even five cars, from Lexus to Mercedes to BMW park in there. And they got people coming in to do their lawn, do their dirty dishes, all that. And we're living in an affluent society, especially in the Western world, North America. If we get sick, we can call in the doctor. If we run out of grocery, we can go to the superstore. If we ran out of money, we can use the plastic. It's very convenient. You don't even need to carry anything these days. And if you are, if you have trouble with your relationship, you can always go and see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So, in the society that we are living, we don't really need God. But talk to the Eskimo, a living way up on the other side of Inuit. He has to depend on God and call upon God. When this prayer says, give us this daily bread, it doesn't apply to here, is it? But it applied to him, because he says he doesn't know what bread is, but he has to pray, give me this day my catch. He has to go out there and catch something for that day. So it makes sense and create meaning for those kind of people. So sometimes that's what, do we really believe that God is a prayer hearing God and prayer answering God? Indeed, we do believe that He is all powerful God of the Bible, who has not put His power on hold, then we should pray. So let's look to the Lord as we look this passage this morning. Father, we thank Thee again for Thy precious word. Thank Thee for Thy Son, our Lord and our Savior. We thank Thee for giving us physical and material blessings that we enjoy. Father, help us to be mindful of that we are dependent upon God of heaven. All our resources are in heaven, and all good gifts are coming from above. So help us, Father, this morning that to appreciate Thy precious word as we look into the scriptures this morning, for we ask it in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 115 and verse 3 says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, what have you done? And that's as we... So why we pray? Well, first of all, prayer can make a difference in what God does. Because sometimes we think as we just say, God never changes. That is true. He is the eternal God. I am the Lord, I changes not. But we have examples in the scriptures many a times. Look at the children of Israel. God delivered them with mighty miracles and wonders from Egypt, and look at on the other side, when they came, they were rebelling against God. They were a people of hard hearts and rebellious people, God says himself. And God told Moses, he almost wanted to destroy all of them. But he says there, I have seen these people, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. And in Deuteronomy, Moses said, I feared the anger and wrath of the Lord, for he was angry enough with you to destroy you. But again, Moses prayed and pleaded with God, and the Lord listened to him. The Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he has threatened. So in other words, it makes a difference if when you and I pray, what God does. And that's the reason we pray. We are sometimes accused of people, we say, you know, some of our Pentecostal brethren and charismatic people say, oh, you guys don't believe in healing, you don't believe in miracles, you don't believe in this, that. No, that's not at all. The very purpose and the reason that you and I pray is that we believe that God can change the difference in our lives. And God does. So, we have many examples. This is King Hezekiah. He got sick, and the Lord told him he's going to die. And so he prayed, and the Lord said, okay, I will add another 15 years. So we have quite a few examples from the scriptures that we can go to. Now, the next thing we're going to look at is, as an introduction of the Lord's Prayer, the promise of the answered prayer and the challenge that we have, that is the human initiative. Does God put conditions in answering your prayer and my prayer? Because Matthew's Gospel chapter 18 and verse 19, he says, if two of you agree in what you are asking, I will do it. So, first of all, we see that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the God will not hear me. Psalm 66 and 18, it says there, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Lord says to each one of us, and he told the children of Israel, that if my people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves and forsake their ways, their wicked ways, and call upon me, I will open the windows of heaven and bless them. So that is the God. And we had to ask in faith, because the Lord Jesus told his disciples, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And also, he told his disciples in John's Gospel chapter 15, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then whatever you ask, it shall be given unto you. It's the fourth thing, is the fellowship with Jesus. And Peter reminds us, husbands, live with your wives as weaker vessels. And he said, so that you will separate yourself for a time of prayer, that you will have the answered prayer. And we had agree with one another. So this agreeing together about six questions that we have. Some people might say, well, the other brother or the other sister doesn't think like me, so how can I agree with him or her? Sometimes it is difficult for us, isn't it? Now, here are some suggestions. Agree on the major doctrines or things. Agree on destination. Agree, we can agree on victory. Agree in glorifying God. Things not related to prayer. What some of the things with which we can disagree? In other words, non-essential points of the doctrine, church preference, cultural bias, gender differences, and age difference. And what are the things that we most agree? Here is the key point, that God can answer prayer. We can agree on that. Amen? And that God will answer. And the severity of the need that you and I, when we go before God, that we need and must have an answer from God. That we are honest and open with one another. That we both have met God's condition. This is the corporate prayer I'm talking about. Your individual prayer, remember in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, he said before the prayer, he said, get into your closet and pray in secret at your Father. That is you and me spending time with God in communication. But this is as a collective body of the church, that we join our prayers together for the answer. How can we agree to get answer? We get hope for the strength of each other. We get determination from the persistence of each other. We get faith from the confidence of each other. We get boldness from the support of each other. So what are some of the practical steps we can agree in prayer? Here are some. Talk and fellowship together. Share the prayer request and answers. Spend time together, worshiping and praying. Rejoice together when the answer comes. And that's what we have to do. Now, to the main portion that we read. I don't know whether you can see. Okay, how is that? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 to 13, we're going to divide this into three sections. One is the salutation, and the second is the supplication, and the third is the summation of this prayer. And you notice that it says here, the paternity or the person of your addressing, our Father. It's not individual, it's not my Father. It says here, our Father. Okay? And that is a relationship in prayer. Now, if you had to call somebody your daddy, well, you had to be his son, right? Or daughter. If you don't have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, then you cannot call Him Father. And some of these verses that we don't have time to look into, I just quickly go through is John in his epistle when he writes, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or daughters of God." What a privilege is that ours. And if you are here this morning, does not know how to become the son or a daughter of God, and it is through the Lord Jesus. But as many as received Him, He gave the power to become the sons and daughters of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12. If we confess the Lord Jesus, that God has raised Him from the dead, and we see that Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Confess the Lord Jesus as your Savior and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So there is a relationship in prayer. And then, where is the Father? The place? He is in heaven. And because of the presence of the Lord, God does whatever is pleases Him in heaven. We should realize that God is, His throne is in heaven, having dominion over the whole universe, and He is all powerful, almighty God. And the third thing that we see, the pronouncements, "Hallowed be thy name." That is reverence in prayer. I don't know whether you can see that. Everybody can see that? Okay, that's good. So there is a relationship in prayer. There is also respect in prayer. And there is the reverence in prayer. Some of these verses that you can go, Book of Isaiah chapter 6, we read, "Holy, holy, holy, God Almighty," with crying out the seraphim and the cherubim in the Book of Isaiah chapter 6. So reverent and holy is His name, and I'm afraid sometimes we take it so casual when we approach the Almighty God, just like you're talking to the neighbor over the fence. That's not what it says there. "Hallowed be thy name." And the other one, that verse follow, not only the reverence in prayer, but there is the rule in prayer. What was this? "Thy kingdom come." And that is should be the desire of your hearts and my hearts, that His kingdom should be established. There is going to be a day that literally the Lord Jesus is going to establish His kingdom upon here on the earth and reign for 1,000 years. Isaiah chapter 11 describes to us that. And then, "Thy will be done." And I don't know whether you notice this is the most misquoted words in the entire scripture. You usually say, even on that board that we saw, "on earth." But you know, the original translation is, "Thy will be done in earth." In earth, that is you and me. Because if it is not all the spiritual qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, is not in me, how is the will of God and the kingdom of God is going to be done on earth? And that should be our desire in this prayer. So there is a resignation in prayer. That is as the Lord Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." So we're going to look at the next section is supplication. By the way, all these points start with the letter P. So you can at least remember some of them. So there is the provision for each one of us. Give us this day our daily bread. That is request in prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, "My God shall supply all your needs." Not one, not two, not some. What does he say? "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." Through whom? Through Christ Jesus. And I need another hour to take that one verse and explain to you, but we don't have time now. So I'll pass it on, because if you write a, most of us do, if you write a check, all the things on that check qualifies for the amount that you write. And it all depends, if that check is any good, it's which bank that holds a check. How much money that you have in your account, what is the authorization, and it's all depends the person who is going to get the money. It all depends on the source, isn't it? And that is exactly what you and I, when we go to heaven, to God Almighty, he is the source. He owns a cattle, he owns 1,000 cattle on a hill. The whole universe is his. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, "My God shall supply." It's not that if he will or someday, sometimes. No. It says, "My God shall." There is a certainty. All your needs according to his riches in glory. Not only we pray for the provision of God Almighty, we also need the pardon from God Almighty. Forgive our debts as we forgive others. Repentance. Not only the request in prayer, but also repentance in prayer. And if we are not willing to forgive others, and what we were given, all our sins are forgiven in the Lord Jesus. And that is why when John writes in the first chapter, he says, if we confess our sin, he is just and faithful to forgive all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we should go to God in repentance. And we also need protection. Lead us not into temptation, resolution in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we are reminded that God will preserve your body, your soul, and your spirit in Jesus Christ. And we need deliverance from evil. So I just put some of the things that we don't have time to turn to this, but you can notice that we need to be delivered from evil conscience. We need to be delivered from evil heart of unbelief. We need to be delivered from the evil world. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. We need to be delivered from evil speaking. We need to be delivered from evil work. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. And we need to be delivered from evil company. And we also need to be delivered from evil appearances. Because the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Thessalonians, he says, abstain from all evil appearances as Christians. Now, here is a summation of the prayer. For thine is the kingdom, proprietorship. That we can rejoice in the fact that kingdom belongs to our God. We sang that chorus this morning. Paul put it up there. Book of Revelation, Apostle John, when we go to that chapter, fully explains the Lamb who sit upon the throne, the Lord Jesus. And he describes to us that he has redeemed us from every kindred, nation, tongue, and people, and made us kings and priests unto God. And we shall ever reign with him. And if you follow further down in that chapter 5 and also chapter 4, it says there, all power, glory, blessing, honor, riches belong to him. So, power. That is the reasoning in our prayers, because all power belongs to God. And then finally, prestige and the glory forever. Amen. Response in prayer. You know, this is Brother Amen died long time ago in our meetings and in our churches, because people don't say that anymore. I remember, you know, a few years ago, I mean, some of you older ones remember that. Anytime somebody speak something that they agree with, they say, amen. We don't say that anymore. But it's a universal language, you know that? It doesn't matter what part of the world you go, there's two words that are universal. You know what the other one is? Hallelujah. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that is that you and I ask. So if you forget everything what I said this morning, here is something that you can take it home with you. Facts. Okay? So there is faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? So, if you don't have any faith, you're not going to pray. And if you're going to pray, you have to have faith, right? Okay? There is faith. And when we go to in prayer to the Lord, it's adoration. And it's also confession. And it's thanksgiving. Psalm 100 says, enter into his gate with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And that's what we do when we go. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, 17, and 18, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all things. Those are three things that as Christians we should be doing. And then supplication. 1 John chapter 5, we say, we ask and we have this confidence that if we ask anything in his name, he is willing to grant to us. So that spells facts. This morning, I just want to say, make it a priority in our everyday life to be powerful and to be fruitful. Those five words: faith, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Finally, I just want to say this morning, prayer is the prelude to peace. Not only a prelude to peace, but is prologue to power. And it is the preface to our purpose. And it is the pathway to perfection. Okay? So I hope this introduction to the disciples' prayer, I have a lot more material here, but time doesn't allow me to continue. Maybe some other time we'll take it. It is a very interesting subject, and there is a lot of things that we can learn from what the Lord Jesus taught his disciples. It is the model prayer, because he didn't mean to repeat that, you know, as some, because the Lord Jesus, remember, he told the disciples, not like don't be like the Gentiles by vain repetition. You know, the Muslims around the world are known for their prayer, where the governments don't even allow Christians to pray. The Muslims go and say, this is part of our religion, we need to pray. McGill University, they went and asked, and they gave him a room for prayer, where the Christians' prayer is thrown out in schools and from institutions. 1789, the Congress of the United States of America asked then President Abraham Lincoln to declare Day of Prayer and Thanksgiving. So since 9/11, the United States people been singing wherever they gather, because the Americans are very proud of their anthem, America the Beautiful and God Bless America. Guess what? 2010, Barbara Crabb, one of the justices of the Supreme Court, she thrown that out and said it's unconstitutional. You see? So now they don't allow it to sing God Bless America, because why? Those two anthems contains the word God, and she says that going to offend somebody. And yet on the other hand, the Muslims can go and pray 3 times or 5 times a day, but the Christians are not allowed. You know what, at the McGill University, the Christians went and asked them, how come you allow those people to go and pray, why can't we go? You know what the answer was? If you guys want, you can go in there and pray. That will be some kind of prayer, isn't it? But the point is, they're chanting. It's the same prayer every day. Have you ever noticed their prayer? And it's the same thing with the Hindu prayer, the same with any other prayer, because it's the same thing. Suppose you got a friend, a close friend, you call him today, and you talk to him for 10 minutes. You call him tomorrow, you tell him exactly the same thing you told him today. You call him the day after, you tell him exactly the same thing. You know what? The fourth day he is going to put on a call display. When your number sees, he's not going to answer the phone. And that is not what the Lord Jesus intended for this prayer, because how many, the Anglicans, the Methodists, other denominations, they repeat the same old thing every day. Our God who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's not what the Lord, this is supposed to be the model. This is what he's supposed to do. That's what we've been looking at. Because of God's kingdom, God's will should be our priority. And God put conditions for answered prayer in your life and my life. So may the Holy Spirit help us in the coming days to really get into the spirit of the prayer and seek God's face for our answers for our difficulties in our life. And we need it. Shall we look to the Lord, please? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee again for Thy precious word. We thank Thee for Thy Son, our Lord and our Savior, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank Thee for the relationship that we can have with the Heavenly Father because of that, because of His work on the cross of Calvary, because He redeemed us. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And because of that, we have relationship with Heavenly Father. So, Father, we ask that Thy Holy Spirit help each one of us this morning to seek Thy face, to ask Thy richest blessing upon each one. May the Word of God and the Spirit of God be our guide and our lead in our Christian life day by day. For we dispense us with Thy blessing this morning. For we ask it in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.